Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Daniel, and I'm on staff here at The Rocks. I want to extend my personal welcome to all of you here this morning, especially if this is something new to you. You just come here for the first time, or maybe a couple of times. I don't want to take for granted that you choose to spend your Sunday morning here with us. I want to say welcome also to our friends joining us online through YouTube, podcast, or on Spotify as well. I don't know if you know, but we are on Spotify. So on your way to work, as you drive or come drive back home, you can always listen to us and catch us online that way. All right? The Canning River Regional Help, what is it? This Saturday, it's happening, Canning River Regional Park Volunteers Work Day. I want you to sign up. I want us to come in force to show the community that we are here for them. Can we do that? I'm telling you, it's going to be fun. It's from 8:30 to 12 p.m. I want us to really, really show the love of Jesus with no strings attached to the community where we're at. If we can't make a difference this way, I don't know how other, you know, What other tangible ways we can show our community that we care for them. So make sure space is limited. So we don't want us to come by the hundreds. I think they only need a few people, but we do need you. So make sure you go to the connection desk and speak to Annika after the gathering today. Okay? I want to clarify some things before we start this morning. If you have been hearing rumors and gossip and lies about me that I was not romantic and all that, I'm here to present my case before you, the jury of my peers, by showing you this photographic evidence that on Friday, Valentine's Day, I presented my beautiful wife with this beautiful bouquet of flower and treated her to a nice lunch that is not McDonald's to prove my romanticity. Okay. If anything, it's my wife Hulda who's not romantic, because as soon as I gave her this flower, so she sent me a text message with this arrangement. She said, "I like this arrangement better." My goodness. Some of you are wondering how I met my wife. A lot of you know my story already, but in case some of you who don't and you're busybody, you want to know, I'll tell you. I met my wife when I first moved to Singapore. See, I just graduated from uni and I got a job in Singapore. So I went to Singapore to work. My first Sunday in Singapore, I went to church as a good Christian boy. I went to find a church and I was sitting in the back row as you do when you are at a new place. And it was like 5 minutes before the gathering began. And Hulda, there she was on the stage playing the piano so beautifully, and she looked so gorgeous from where I was sitting. So the following Sunday, I sat on the front row to make sure, and she is gorgeous, I'm telling you. And I found out that she was the choir director for our church, that she, you know, directs the choir. So naturally, I joined the choir. And even though I can't sing to save my life, and I remember during practice, like, somebody singing out of key. "Daniel, stop singing." Okay, it's good now. But yeah, we are in the middle of our series that we are calling Love, Dates, and Heartbreaks. And this is such an important series. This is a series for everybody, whether you are dating, you look to dating, maybe you're married and you want your marriage to be better. This series is for everybody. And this series is so important because I have seen firsthand what breakdown in relationships can do to people, especially when it's involving children. I'm telling you, you don't want to be in that situation. So I'm hoping that this series, I'm praying real hard that God will use this series for those of you who feel like your marriage is about to hit the end. I'm telling you, use this series, allow the Spirit of God to speak to you, and I'm telling you, there is still hope for your relationship. All right? For those of you who are singles, I'm telling you, this is an opportunity for you to get it right the first time. And I want to just begin by saying again, the reason why a lot of us are in trouble when it comes to relationship is because many of us believe in this myth called the right person myth. The right person myth says, if I meet the right person, everything will be all right. Or if I marry the right person, everything will be all right, including me. I will be all right. I will be a better person. I will be a gentleman. Or, you know, I will be a lady when I meet the right person in my life. And we know this is not true, right? Your problems don't magically disappear just because you meet the right person. But a lot of people believe this, you see. We all grow up fantasizing, dreaming about meeting the right person. None of us has ever dreamt of becoming the right person, which is way more important than finding the right person. Another myth that is connected to this is the I promise myth. All right? When it comes to a long, healthy, long-term relationship, we believe that if we make a promise, then everything will be all right. If I make a promise, if I say I do, if I make a vow, then everything will be all right. We know this is not true as well. You don't magically change too just because you have a party and make a promise, right? The truth is, promises are never a substitute for preparation. We know this to be true in every area of life. You cannot promise to win a game when you're playing sports. You cannot promise to be healthy. I promise to be healthy. You need to eat healthy and exercise if you want to be healthy. You cannot promise to be wealthy if you don't want to work hard. You can't say, I promise to be wealthy. I promise. But you don't want to put in the hard work. You cannot do that. We know this to be true. But somehow, when it comes to relationship, we think if we say I do at the altar, that means we're going to make it. We're going to have this long, healthy relationship. And it's not true. If you miss it on the first week, we show you this quote by Andy Stanley. It's an amazing quote. By all means, take note, take photo. Saying I do does not make you capable. Saying I do makes you accountable. And when you're accountable but not capable, you are, say it together with me, miserable. That's right. And you know this to be true as well, right? Some of you have dropped some classes at uni because you were accountable, but you were not capable. So you decided to change major, or you decided to drop the class because you were miserable. I don't want this to be your experience when it comes to relationship. I want you to prepare before you commit, because saying I do will not make you capable. I want to give you another quote for you this morning. This is extra for you. I found this to be really, really true as well. The difficulty with marriage is that we fall in love with a personality, but we must live with a character. I'm telling you, right? Do not base your relationship on personality or on looks, okay? Don't seek a future partner based on personality or looks. Why? Because they don't have enduring qualities. Especially when it comes to looks, all right? They don't have enduring qualities. Now, I want to show you an example. Ladies, okay, in case you don't know, let me introduce you to this guy. His name is Iggy Pop, all right? How many of you have heard Iggy Pop? Okay, you're showing your age. Well, he was a god in the 70s. I mean, all the ladies, and he had the looks, he had the physique, he had everything, and ladies were clamoring all over him, right? Big personality and the look, except for the hair, but, you know, the body, everything was amazing. But that's not how he looks now. This is how he looks now, okay? Drink it in, ladies. Don't look away. Take a look. This is your future, okay? Take a good look. I'm going to leave the images here for a while. I want it to be burned in your brain so that you know for the rest of your life to not build your relationship based on looks. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Actually, he looked pretty good for his age. Listen to what Proverbs says. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman, or true for men as well, who fears the Lord is to be praised, right? Ladies, let me just give you a tip, single ladies. If you're looking for a man in your life and you're using your beauty to attract them, if you're using your body to attract them, you're attracting the wrong kind of guy. Let me tell you that. The very thing that will attract that man to you, right, will be the very thing that caused that man to leave you, because your looks not going to last forever. I keep telling you this many times. Someday, your skin is going to look like KFC, all right? You're not going to have that look forever. Trust me. And if that's the only thing that you are showing off to the man that you are trying to attract, I'm telling you, that's not an enduring quality, all right? That's why the more important question for all of us to ask, especially if you are single, is, am I becoming the person I'm looking for is looking for? Am I becoming the person I'm looking for is looking for? Or if you're already married, am I becoming the person that the person I married was hoping for? All right? This is important because now that you are married, trust me, you married the right person. It's no longer a question for you now. Did I marry the right person? No. You know, that question is not for you anymore. For those of you who are singles, yes, you can ask that question still. But the married people, you cannot ask that question anymore. Because here's the deal, right? Before you're married, you get married because you love one another. But after you're married, you love one another because you're married, right? It's not an option for you to leave. Okay? You got to work on your marriage. You got to trust God that things will be better. If you don't think that your marriage is good right now, you got to keep working on it. And believe me, with God's help, if you're trying, you know, if you try to put in the effort, if you're willing to put in the effort, it can get better. Okay? The reason why this is true, once you're married, you love because you're married, because love is not just feelings. We say that so many times in this church, and it's the truth, right? And we know it's not a feeling because Jesus commanded us to love. That's why we know it's not a feeling. This is the greatest commandment from Jesus. My command is this. Think about it. You never thought it in that term before, maybe, right? That love can be commanded. It can if it's a decision. It cannot if it's just a feeling. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Now, when the disciples heard this for the first time, they were confused. I don't think they fully understood what Jesus meant. Love each other as I have loved you. But after Jesus died and then resurrected, then the disciples realized, oh my goodness, this is how he loved us? He gave his life for us. That's how he loved us. Now we remember when he said to us, remember Peter, remember John, when he said to us, this is my commandment, love each other as I have loved you. You know what he's asking us to do? He's asking us to love the people around us, even people that we don't like, to love them the way Jesus has loved us. Man, this is truly, truly amazing. That's why it's called a new commandment. You know, usually we love people based on the way they treat us, right? But Jesus said, no. Anyone can do that. But here's, I want you to love. I want you to love, not as you wish, not as how people treat you. I want you to love as I have loved you. And the Apostle Paul, a few years later, he used to be a Pharisee who hated Jesus, but he became a Jesus follower after he met with the resurrected Jesus. He teased this out a little bit more when he said this in his letter to the church in Corinth. He said, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others. Okay? This is what love looks like. If you want to know how Jesus has loved you, this is how Jesus has loved you, and this is how you should love one another. Now, I want to take a quick break right here and talk to some of the teenagers in the room. If you're a teenager, you're not looking to date, maybe you're like, oh, come on, I can't wait for this series to be over. Well, don't, all right? Lean in. I'm talking to you right now. If you're a teenager, a high schooler, a middle schooler, and you still live with your parents, you get the opportunity to do this right that adults don't have the opportunity to do, okay? You get the opportunity to practice this at home, okay? Why is it important? it is important because when you practice this at home, you will be good at them when you move out of home. Okay, I've been in student ministry long enough to know that whenever I talk to teenagers on this issue, the answer I get is always, it's just my mom, it's just my mom, it's just my mom. But I tell you, if you don't practice this at home, it's just my mom, it's just my mom, it's just my mom, will turn into, it's just my wife, it's just my wife, it's just my wife, right? Because, you know, this is what's so funny. In our society, we don't do this at home with the people we love the most. But outside, we are at our best behavior. In the office, you know, in the workplace, in the school, we put on our best behavior. We try, you know, we are kind to one another, we are patient, but not at home with the people that we love. That's not right. You see, we should practice this with the people that we love the most at home, because that's how exactly Jesus treated you. That's how exactly Jesus treated me. So that's why if you're a high schooler at home, practice this, because I don't want you to get caught by surprise when you are in a relationship, then you find yourself saying, it's only my husband, it's only my husband, it's only my husband, right? Now, if you miss the message last Sunday by Chloe, it was super. It was brilliant. I want you to make sure you catch it on YouTube or podcast, all right? Chloe expands this beautifully with a lot of good examples, so make sure you tune in if you missed it last week. But I want to continue on this thought in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to tease this out a little bit more, how Paul described the love of Jesus for us and how we should in turn love one another, okay? He continues this application of love, if you like. You see, the commandment to love one another, that's the most important command of all. The rest of the scripture, think about this with me, all right? The rest of the scripture is just commentary and application of this one great commandment to love one another. People come to me all the time saying, oh, you know, I want some deep teaching in church. You know, we lack deep teaching. I'm telling you, nothing is deeper than this. Love one another. Love each other as I have loved you. I've seen too many Christians with in-depth Bible knowledge. They know some obscure minor prophets from the Old Testament, but they cannot apply the most simple, basic biblical truth of the Bible of honoring one another, loving one another, being patient with one another, and so on and so forth. What's the point of your Christianity if you can't apply the most important thing that Jesus told us to do? All right? So Paul continues. He says, love is not self-seeking. What it means is love, if you put it in a more modern term, love is not selfish, okay? Love looks to the interests of others above your own interests. And we do this naturally when we first started dating. Am I right? Married people? I remember when I was in Singapore, after some time, it was love at first sight for me when I first saw Hulda, as I said before, but it was hate at first sight for Hulda. And so I had to work really, really hard, you know, to get her attention. But finally, she relented. She realized her mistake. And, you know, come on. And so we started dating. And let me tell you, like, I have no music anything in my blood, all right? No artistic anything in my blood. But Hulda, my wife, is an artist. She's a pianist. She's just amazing, an amazing artist. So naturally, she likes a lot of artsy stuff. What do I do? Because I love her, and at the beginning, this is easy for all of us. We do this naturally when we first started dating, right? So I started going to these concerts with Hulda, like this one, Disney on Ice. Can you imagine? I went to Disney on Ice, and this is E-Music, this is like chamber music, Vivaldi, Four Seasons. You know, I was nodding halfway through the concert. And we saw all kinds of Broadway productions, you name it, Miss Saigon, Cats, Joseph and the Amazing Color Dreamcoat, Les Miserables, anything, you know, we saw everything. But the worst of all, and I do this for love, is this one, Swan Lake. My goodness. This is heavy, okay? But men, we do this, right? Naturally. But the question is, are you right now self-seeking or partner-seeking, wife-seeking, husband-seeking, other-seeking in your life? The single people, pay attention. If you've been checking your Facebook or Instagram, look up here because this is important. Single people, I want to talk to you, okay? This is important. This is worth coming to church for. I'm telling you, this is worth coming to church for. I want to give you a tip on how you can find out if the person you're dating is self-seeking or not. There's a quick way for you to find out. Are you ready? Let me give you a tip. A quick way for you to find out if your partner is self-seeking, if he or she is selfish or not, is this. I want you, for the next, say, 8 weeks, okay? I want you to practice being selfless 100% of the time, okay? I want you to practice giving and giving. I want you to practice just like, yeah, what do you want to eat? No, where do you want to eat? We go wherever you want to go. Just do that, you know, put his or her interest above yourself 100% of the time. Not even 99%, 100% of the time. And here's what you do, okay? This is what I mean. If you give and give and give, and they take and take and take, you know it's time for you to run and run and run, okay? Let me break this down to you. This is complicated, right? This is only for singles people, okay? This is only for single people. Married people, you stay and stay and stay, okay? You don't run. But single people, this is what you do. How do you know if your partner is self-seeking? You just keep giving and see if they take advantage or not, right? Honor their every wishes, you know, fulfill their preferences. And if that's all they do, they're happy that you're doing that, but they don't in turn, you know, try to put your interests above their own, then you know it's time to run and run and run because you don't want to live with this kind of people. Am I correct? You don't want to live with this kind of person. Dating, let me tell you, right? I'm getting excited, so hang in there. I see dating, nobody has ever defined dating this way. For me, I should write a book about this. Dating is a job interview. Dating is a job interview for the position of your future husband or future wife. This is the time for you to make a good look, to make a careful observation, evaluation of your future partner, if the person is suitable or not for the lifelong position of husband and wife in your life. Do you know what I'm talking about, right? It's a job interview. And the Bible is filled with guides how to help you in this process of evaluation. For example, okay, Proverbs 25:24. It's better to live alone in the corner of an attic than with a quarrelsome wife in a lovely home. This is not for married people, okay? This is for single people. For you to open your eyes big and do your careful evaluation, and all the married people, like, yeah, that's true. That's true. And then maybe some of you married people said, God, why don't you tell me this earlier? God has. This is written 3,000 years ago. You should have picked up your Bible and read it. All right? But single people, this is true. It's better to live alone in the corner of an attic than with a quarrelsome wife in a lovely home. So you ask yourself, is the girl in your life, the girl that you're dating, is she quarrelsome? Right? Is she quarrelsome? Is she upset over everything? What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong now? Why are you so upset? You know, if you have to calm her down every time she's upset about everything, man, you don't want to live with that kind of person, right? Single ladies, you have a lot of evaluation tips as well from the scriptures, okay? For example, Proverbs 25:28, like a city whose walls are broken through is a man who lacks self-control. So let me ask you, the man you're dating, okay? Does he burst in anger? Okay, does he explode? Does he have anger issue? You gotta ask yourself that question. Because, you see, this is a great illustration because a city wall in those days, a city wall is there to protect, right? If you live with a husband who's always angry, contentious, all right, burst out anytime, has temper issue, you have to tiptoe around him all the time, you're scared, all the time, you don't want to live with that kind of man, all right? That kind of man will not help you build your house. That kind of man will destroy your house. You don't want to live with him. You see, dating is a good opportunity for you to find out what kind of person that you are seeing, what kind of person that you are dating. And this brings me to the next point about love. Paul continues and he says, love is not easily angered. Love is not easily angered, you see. The key word there that I highlighted is easily, because we do get angry from time to time, right? It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. Even Jesus got angry one time. It was a righteous anger though, right? When he saw his father's house, the temple was being misused by the people. Now, love, Paul says, is not easily angered. I know a lot of you maybe think this way. Well, the reason why I'm angry all the time is because I married the wrong person. Again, you go back to the right person myth. If I had married the right person, that person wouldn't make me angry. Actually, you're right. You're right. Because nobody could make you angry. This is true. No one has ever made you angry. They've just brought the anger out of you. See, being angry is your decision. It's not somebody else's doing. Somebody can brought that out of you, but being angry is optional. You don't have to be angry, all right? Same thing with happiness. You know, no one can make you happy. It's your choice. It's your decision. Do you want to be happy or do you not want to be happy? I've seen people with lots of good stuff, lots of good people around them, but they're not happy. You see, I remember a story about John Maxwell and his wife, Margaret. They were at a conference. They were speaking together at this conference, and it was question and answer time. And Margaret, John Maxwell's wife, John Maxwell, by the way, if you don't know anything about him, he's a leadership guru. You can read his books, you know, like hundreds of books, I think, that he wrote. But Margaret, his wife, was asked this question by the crowd in that seminar. And the question is very simple. Does John Maxwell make you happy? And Margaret's short answer is no. John Maxwell cannot make me happy. And the crowd gasped like, oh, John Maxwell, you wrote all that good stuff and you could not make your wife happy. And then the wife, Margaret, explained, well, John is a good man. He's a good husband. He tries to provide for me physically, emotionally, spiritually, but John Maxwell cannot make me happy because that is not his job. It is my job. It is my decision to be happy or not happy. Same thing with anger, all right? It is a choice. Don't think if you have an anger issue, yeah, we probably need help. Talk to someone by all means. But at the end of the day, you have to know it is a choice on your part, all right? Paul continues, it keeps no record of wrong. It keeps no record of wrong. That means love has no record of wrong drawer, all right? It doesn't exist in a loving relationship. You don't even have that drawer because love keeps no record of wrong, okay? I don't want you to keep tab of every mistake that your spouse makes. Don't do that, right? Please stop it. If you do that, you know, oh, I remember this. You keep account all the time. Stop doing it, by all means, right? Right now, you got to stop it. Not because I tell you so, not because the Bible tells you so, but you need to stop keeping record of wrong because that's exactly what God has done for you, all right? That's exactly what God has done for you through Jesus Christ. Listen to Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far, how far is the east is from the west? Infinity. It just goes on forever. That means like it's so far has He removed our transgressions from us. If God has done that for you, you should do it for your wife, for your husband, right? You should forgive and try to forget. Act like you forget. I know it's not easy to forget, but you have to forgive and act like you forget, because that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done for you. For those of you who are not followers of Jesus Christ, let me tell you the good news. The good news is, you know, we all are sinners. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, everyone is in this world, right? Everybody has fallen short of God's standard, but the good news is God, through Jesus Christ, has paid everything that is necessary, everything that is required as a payment for sin through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why through His death, He's able to remove your sin, because it's been paid for by Jesus. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has removed your transgressions from you. So if you choose to put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ like Nick did, then you can be rest assured that eternal life is yours, that broken relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father has been mended, and now you're in good terms with God again because of what Jesus Christ has done. And you can do that simply by putting your faith in Him. And I want to challenge you to consider doing that sooner rather than later, all right? And then Paul concludes his application on love by saying the next couple of verses in rapid succession. It's like, you know, when you watch a firework, right? At the end, when everything just come one after the other, this is exactly how Paul did it in verse 6 and 7. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I don't have time to explain all of this to you this morning, but I do want to say this as we close our time together. This is very important, okay? When you look at this list in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is patient, kind, does not envy, does not boast, it is not proud, does not dishonor others, not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs, not self-seeking, always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. I want you to take a mental note, okay? Take a mental note. Which one in this list is not important for you in your future husband or future wife? For those of you who are looking to be married someday, okay? The person that you're looking for, right? That right person. Which one of these qualities, or how many of these qualities for you is not important in the person that you're looking for? I'll give you a few seconds to think. Which one can you strike out? I don't need my future partner to be patient. I don't need him to always protect me, to always trust. Which one is not important? All of them are important, aren't they? You don't want your future husband or your future wife to bail at the first sign of trouble because they don't persevere. Am I right? You don't want your future husband or your future wife to be envious all the time of you. You don't want them to be dishonoring to you. Now, guess what? That person that you're looking for, that perfect person, that right person, what do you think they're looking for in you when they're considering you to be their future husband or their future wife? Do you think they will strike out any on this list? Like, oh, I don't need you to be this, this, this. No. That right person that you're looking for also expects you to be all of this to them. That's why we said all along from the very beginning of this series, okay, more important than finding the right person is trying to become the right person. This is how you become the right person. But the truth is, none of us can be all of this at all time. I can't be all of this at all time. That is why we need the grace of God in our relationship. We need the forgiveness from God. We need the love of God. And God has made that available to us through the person of Jesus Christ. That's why, you know, I say this many times, following Christ will not only make your life better, but will make you better at life, all right? Because you have received experience firsthand, receiving all this from Jesus. It's going to be easier for you. It should be easier for you with the help of God to do this to your partner. And I can only imagine with me, okay? If every husband in this room, every wife, try their best. You won't be perfect, but you try your best to be all of this. Man, there is hope yet for your relationship. There is hope yet. I guarantee you, there is hope for your relationship. What we need to do is just to believe the word of God for it and think no longer in childish terms. And this is how Paul concluded this excursus, if you like, this teaching on love by being emotional a little bit about this. Because so far it's been like almost just teaching on love. You know, love is patient, love is kind. So Paul brings it home, okay, by encouraging you to think of love in these terms instead of being childish in your thinking about love. So Paul, being a gentle person that he was, he's not accusing you of anything. He's just telling you this way. I mentioned this in the first week. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. What is he saying? Very simple. He's just saying, grow up, but in a very gentle way. Grow up. Stop thinking about leaving your wife. Stop thinking about leaving your husband, thinking you will find a better person. Work on your relationship. Love is a decision. It's hard, but it will pay off. If you put in the work with God's help, I'm telling you, right? There is hope for your relationship. And if you are single, you can start working on this now so that you will prevent yourself from future heartbreaks because you're not prepared for your future relationship.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.